Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Freedom. Freedom! Well, sign away my freedom. Why, this is ridiculous.
Don't be corny, brother.
Sure, our system of free enterprise isn't perfect. But before we throw it away for some imported double talk, let's turn the clock back a few years to see what it's done for us.
With your host, Mike Paul.
Killers, they just train all day is what I'd imagine.
Dude, yeah. That would be badass.
Well, you know, having...
You'd always have an even-sized training partner, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, having twins is kind of like when you buy a new car, and then all of a sudden you start seeing that car everywhere. Like, oh, there's another red truck, and I just bought a red truck. You start to like stick out to you. Like, I swear, I see twins everywhere, and meet other twin parents everywhere I go now. It's like, I guess I was never looking for it before, but
you got strong swimmers,
apparently. So, anyhow, well, welcome back to Pulse to the Wall. I am joined by my good buddy Tyler, and we got a surprise visit from the great El Popo. This kind of worked out. Tyler and I just decided to record tonight, and Tyler threw out the feelers on Twitter, and we caught El Popo in between Twitter bans, and here we are. So how you guys doing?
Hell yeah, I'm doing great, and yeah, I'm not banned currently. Love that.
He's back in action, yeah. I was going to say it. Eventually, they're going to pick up on the duck picture, though. Do you got, like, a library of duck pictures?
No, people make them every time. It's very nice of them.
Oh, like, people send them to you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my past, I think, like, three or four profile pictures of just someone sent me them.
So is there a story behind the duck, or is it just something funny and you just rolled with it?
No, I just found the picture. Like some dude, apparently the duck, this particular duck picture was used in a Minnesota anti-smoking ad like 2 decades ago. And it was a duck and a bunch of other animals. And it goes, it doesn't look cool when they do it. And I'm like, dude, it looks fucking awesome. That duck looks so cool. I already like ducks. I don't like very many birds, but I love ducks, dude. And, I smoke a ton of cigarettes. So I'm like, dude, that's totally me, dude. I'm a duck smoking a cigarette. That does look cool. I'm just going to ride with that. Because I was using my real name and my real picture for the longest time on Twitter. No one cared what I had to say. They just thought I was your average Jason Statham impersonator.
So the minute you put a duck on there and start insulting suburbanite white people, it took off.
Yeah, man. I was insulting all kinds of people. But I guess they were all white, so it still checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess when you pair up someone saying something funny, talking trash with a funny picture, as opposed to someone saying something funny and it's just like it's just some fucking dude. It's different. I guess someone is like, oh, that's a funny account versus, oh, this is an insane person on the internet, which is still true in my case, but everyone thinks it's funny, though.
It's true. Dude, the duck smoking a cigarette is really icing on the cake. It's tremendous.
Hell yeah.
I love it. So, wait, I was ranting about this the other day. Do you smoke menthols?
Yes, sir, I do.
Dude, how pissed are you?
I'm very upset. I'm going to have to figure out. Apparently, it's not going to take effect for a while, like a few years, my understanding is. I don't really know. I'm actually guessing. Someone said that, and I believe them. I don't even know who said it. I'm just running with it. I saw it once. So I'm like, oh, that's true. And I'm hoping it's true, but it may blindside me. I may come up on like, oh, yeah, it's next month, by the way. I'm not going to do it.
I did read an article that said something about it could take up to 2 years. I'm wondering if they're anticipating getting challenged in court. Because even the ACLU was like, whoa, guys, what are you doing here?
I think it was more like a we're going to do 2 years. We're going to put the feelers out and see what kind of pushback we get from everyone. I think the age of social media as a driving force is certainly here, especially when it comes to government. I think if there's enough pushback, if enough people call Joe Biden racist for this, I think he'll go, well.
Dude, it's so incredibly racist. Like, that was my first, like, that's the first thing I thought when I read that. I was like, you're basically saying that black people, number one, you're solidifying the stereotype that they smoke menthols more than other people. Then also that they can't make their own decisions without you being their nanny. Like they're just toddlers that can't stop eating junk food. So you got to take the junk food away. It's so condescending and racist. I can't believe that's an actual headline that's not on The Onion.
Like, I got it from if they just said, oh, we're doing menthol because we're just doing all flavored cigarettes. Menthol's a flavored cigarette technically. So Obama didn't finish that. So we're doing it. And that would have been an intelligent move on their part, I think. Cause then no one can come back over the top and saying, hey, this is being racist. But it actually honestly did blow me away when they say, oh, we're doing it because black people love menthol cigarettes. I'm like, no way. Dude. Yeah. But they said the worst possible reason.
they couldn't have delivered it any worse.
Right. Like, you're not going to just create a black market. Like, they're not going to, if this is true and they really do like them and you're taking them away, they're going to still want to smoke them. You're just going to put more of them in jail for taking away a right that they have. It's so ridiculous.
But the problem is they don't care if we, like you or I, call them racist. We need the, by we, I mean people who aren't us. And by need, I mean I'm going to force them to do it. We need the right people, though, to call them racist, which will get the job done. And right now, it's not enough of the right people are doing it.
Agreed.
On purpose, I start to think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that's the best way to deliver the effective message. You know, I was joking with some people. I was like, what if menthol cigarette ban is the straw that breaks the camel's back? And then you start seeing states agreeing to secede. You know, you got like Ron DeSantis in Florida is like, hey, yeah, you guys can smoke menthols here in Florida. And it just is like a domino effect.
I think that'd be wicked, dude. In fact, I think that's the power move.
It would be a power move, absolutely, because I think Ron DeSantis already told Biden to go fuck himself once, like early in the, I think before Biden was even elected, Biden was criticizing Florida, saying that they want everyone to die, you know, the usual bullshit, and DeSantis was like, yeah, he can go fuck himself.
And by the way, that's exactly what will happen, too. I can tell you from personal experience, when I was in Fort Rucker, Alabama, stationed there, I smoked cigarettes. I was 18 there. In Alabama, you have to be 19 to buy cigarettes. Unless you're on
really?
Post. Right. So if I'm off post, I can't buy cigarettes at the gas station. So where I was pretty close to Florida. So it'd be more convenient, depending on where, if I've left post, it'd be more convenient for me to just go to Florida and buy cigarettes than go back to post to buy cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would do all the time. We'd go over to Florida and just buy cigarettes. And I would gladly give Florida the money. Fuck Alabama, super low. And then I'd come back to Alabama smoking the cigarettes that I couldn't buy.
did they, like, they weren't, like, ridiculous. Like, they pull you over and be like, hey, you look kind of young. Where'd you get these cigarettes?
No, in fact, that's not, I don't think that's really the law anywhere. I think you can smoke cigarettes regardless of your age. Because everyone I grew up with, I'm from, you know, Kentucky. Everyone I grew up with as a kid smoked cigarettes. You just can't buy them if you're 18. You can. I think you can possess and smoke them regardless of your age.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Interesting.
It's not like alcohol in the regard that you cannot possess alcohol if you're under 21.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I might have found that out the hard way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about 17, I found that out the hard way.
And by the way, this is legal advice, so if you're under 18 listening, you can have cigarettes, dude. And if anyone asks you, if a cop stops you and they say that the smoking duck guy is wrong, who knows more about cigarettes? Me, the guy.
That's true.
Loser. Hey,
I heard this podcast one time when there was a guy with the smoking duck picture, and he told me it was safe. Dude, I was so excited to hear you were coming back on when Tyler just told me, because dude, that last episode, I went through and edited it. I was laughing my ass off so fucking much. I was like, dude, I text Tyler. I was like, we got to get this guy back on, like, regularly.
I was worried I gave you too much work, dude.
No, I did have to edit out a couple things that you said just because I didn't want to get put on any lists. But, you know, I still made it flow. But I was laughing so hard. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, someone saw Tyler post, said, hey, we need someone to fill in. And then someone sent me that. I wasn't looking at Twitter. Someone sent me that and said,
hey, oh, really?
You should redo that show. I'm like, dude, yeah, I like doing that show. I'll definitely go back on. I'll see if they want me on.
And then it's been fun. We've been engaging with our listeners more. In fact, I want to give a shout out to a few of them. So last episode, I threatened to do a Dr. Fauci 15-day podcast lockdown if I didn't get 3 to 4 new 5-star ratings. Because for like the last 9 episodes, nobody's given me a rating, even though we plug it every time. So I'm happy to
talk about on iTunes.
What's that?
Are we talking about on iTunes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I rated it.
Oh, well, thank you. So I asked for 3 to 4, and the good news is we got 8 since last episode.
Dang.
8 5-star reviews. Give them a little shout out. We got 3 written reviews. One is titled From Reluctant Greener Grad, says, "Maskless breath of fresh air. This podcast is a nice break from the nonsense on mainstream narrative. It is a nice reminder that there are other free minds out there. Find the others." Terrence McKenna. Then we got another one that says "Liberty" by Snowboarder 84
in all caps.
Yes. "I always considered myself a full blown right wing conservative. I saw Dave Smith on Tim Pool and started listening to Dave's podcast and heard about you guys on his podcast. I have been a regular listener ever since. I have since taken the red pill and realized that liberty is all that matters and the establishment doesn't care about it. You guys are great. Keep fighting. Best Obama impression I've ever heard. Dave Smith, 2024. That's Nick. Nick does the best one. He's not here.
Yeah, Nick's the impressionist.
You haven't heard mine then.
Oh, you got a good one?
Oh, hell yeah. You want to hear it?
Go for
it. Yes, yes.
Hey, dog, what up, motherfucker? I'm Obama.
it's close. It's close.
y'all want health care?
Let's see. Then we got this one was kind of interesting from I'm Crabby. It says, "Great podcast. I love listening to the podcast. These guys are funny, smart, and interesting." Not sure which one she's talking about. And this is coming from a 51-year-old woman, one of your 4 female listeners, in parentheses.
Dude.
So we got at least one.
Yeah.
And then the latest one just says, "Great show" by Chuck 5003. And it says, "You got Supreme Leader Fauci on your podcast." Hell yeah.
Nice.
We did.
I hope that the listeners know that we're like Dave Smith's like B side. We're like the Bollywood edition of Dave Smith's show.
Yeah.
We're the cheap remake.
I was really happy. I was like, hey, I asked for 3 to 4. I got 8. I got double what I expected. But you know, 54% of our listeners are on iTunes, and I'm like, so what? The rest of you guys were just calling my bluff? You were gonna let me lock the podcast down for 15 days? Like they didn't even care.
I hope that someone leaves a 5-star review, but then in the review part just says "fuck you."
I'll take it. Hey, it moves me up in the algorithm, so that's all it takes.
Hell yeah. So El Pulpo, I was catching up on some podcasts, and you broke a story about this TikTok titty milk lady.
Oh no, yeah.
I need details on this. I didn't have time to get fully ingrained in the research that you and your crew did for this.
So this lady, she's on TikTok. She has like a elite speak name too. I don't understand. It's like RX, then O, and then something else.
Whoa.
It's RX or cyst. That's it. But it's a 0 and 7 O.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this lady goes around and she like sees other people on TikTok. There's this one lady most recently in particular who went on an airplane and she was wearing like a fake mask. Like it was like a lattice mask, not like a real mask.
Yeah. And
so she was like, oh, I see that you're on this airplane based on the back seat. Yeah. I forwarded your information to Southwest Air. And also here's your employer. I went ahead and contacted them because don't want to follow these things. You need to be held responsible. And she's done this to many other people before, including some like 17-year-old kid in England, where she prefaces it with, now, because he's a kid, we have to approach this very differently. We can't, she's like implying she's not going to be mean to these people like the kid. And then she's like, however, it doesn't mean he can't be held responsible for what he said. And he was making like a fat joke. He's like making fun of fat people. And so it's like really innocuous. And it wasn't like a kill yourself thing or anything like that. He wasn't being harmed. Yeah. He was just saying like, oh, fat people or something like that. And then she concludes the video with, we have informed your school administration of what you've said online. And I'm like, dude, this
what the hell?
People are giving, she's getting millions of hits on TikTok over this nonsense. And people are giving her a pass. They're slay queening her, dude. But then on Twitter, it's a different story. We don't take that shit. Even like lefty accounts don't take that. They don't like that shit. So I've seen a lot of people going hammer on her, like Shoe on Head. I think Shoe on Head's turning anarchist, dude, which is pretty wicked to watch in real time, because she's pissing off a lot of her formerly obnoxious lefty base.
Mm-hmm.
I love bringing the Twitter drama timeline, you know, on the podcast. It makes for great podcasting. But anyway, the moral of the story is, this crazy. And then so this lady has her PhD. She has a PhD, and it's in like lactation medicine. So that's like,
I didn't even know there was a thing.
I didn't either. And I mean, of course it is, though. Why wouldn't it be? And that's really the end of the story, that there's a titty doctor online, a lactation doctor online, going around doxing people, and everyone's giving her a pass for it. They're praising her. And she has Elite Speak name. That's the craziest part. I'm mad, as someone who loves Elite Speak, I'm actually mad that she's using that name.
She's all good things must come to an end.
She's appropriating my culture.
So,
it blows my mind, though. Like, how, in what world has this become like acceptable? I know that COVID kind of made telling on your neighbor cool, but like, whatever happened to it might have been on your show when like Lee was talking about it, about like, in what world is it acceptable for some like frail old lady to start berating like a 30-year-old dude and just expecting no consequence and just to totally assert like dominance over them
for no reason at all. On top of that,
right?
For a perceived social miscue,
right? Like who cares if a 17-year-old makes fun of fat people? That's what all 17-year-olds do, even the fat ones.
Dog, literally. I'm just glad I was 17 when the internet was still insane.
Dude, it'd be so hard, especially like when everything is like, even like garage door openers and door locks, like they all have apps now where you can see what time they were last opened and what time they were locked. It's like, how much would it suck to be a teenager right now? Like, you couldn't get away with shit.
That's true, dude. No chance you could. Yeah. You know, the whole house is locked down and everything's like, the windows tell you if like they open and everything. Yeah, you couldn't ever sneak out, dude. You couldn't do shit, man. I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't put holes in the wall.
There's they probably even have like Bluetooth door locks.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, your parents could just change the code on your ass, and you'd be locked out for the night.
I hope, by the way, no one uses any of these things. I mean, true. I figure I wouldn't have to stress the, you know, libertarian and anarchist folks, but I mean, first of all these things, these are the most common things on botnets, by the way, all Internet of Thing devices, all these little devices that aren't front facing the internet, like computers and phones, all the TVs, the smart TVs, and the freaking smart refrigerators and smart washing machines and smart coffee makers and smart toilets and everything. All those things are what's running the botnets now. So whenever all these websites get hit with DDoSes, it's coming from Internet of Thing devices. I think it's like 80% of botnets are Internet of Thing devices.
So what exactly is a botnet? That's way over my head. I have no idea what that means.
Oh, okay. So a botnet is if someone – it's a user – if you are on a botnet, you would be on a network of millions. At this point now, it's magnitudes of millions. 10 years ago, it was magnitudes of tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands. But millions of other devices that's all usually – I don't know how it's done now, but back then it was done on IRC drop. So you could have an IRC drop. All these devices were logged in, and you can issue a command, and all these devices would ping. They would send data requests to whatever host that you are telling it to. And it, a lot of devices can't take all this bandwidth, all these packets sitting in it at once, so it knocks it offline. So botnets are used to deliver DDoS attacks to knock websites and servers offline. Mm-hmm. So all these botnets are all Internet of Thing devices that all have exploits out that can't really get updated very well. And they're all hooked up to botnets, and they're just used to, and other people happen to think that they come with botnets on them because they're all assembled in very shady plants, you know, over the ocean. Front in a country that's notorious for using cyber warfare attacks. A lot of people think it's the state actors who put these botnets on your Internet of Thing devices. So it's not just, oh, what's the harm with the Chinese spying on me? It's, oh, the Chinese is using my TV to knock off Xbox servers.
Learn something new every day.
I know there was controversy with Huawei, or whatever, however you say it, with their, like, in their cell phones, they said that they had backdoors so that the Chinese state could get in on it.
Oh, I'm sure all of them do. And I'm sure all of ours also do. I guess Apple fights the FBI on encryption, so perhaps not them. But I wouldn't throw anything past Google, dude.
No, Google is the state.
Yes, at this point, yes.
Yeah.
So last week we introduced a new segment to the show that we're going to try to do weekly. And we don't have Chad or Nick. Chad is at a concert. Good for him. He's going out to a social event. And Nick is rolling. That's more, he puts jiu-jitsu before the podcast, you know, just the way it is. But
he's giving handies in the locker room.
But I'm really excited to have a Popo here for this one, because he'll have great reaction and commentary. So I'm going to play you a, you know, the thing about propaganda of the week is that there is endless content, and they make so much of it every week that, you know, you just pick the best one and go with it. So odds are you've seen this if you've been listening to podcasts. But I feel like we at least got to do our breakdown on it. So I'll roll the tape. Angel of darkness is upon you.
Stuck a need on When I was 17, I quoted Zora Neale Hurston's How It Feels to Be Colored Me in my college application essay. The line that spoke to me stated simply, I am not tragically colored. There is no sorrow dammed up in my soul nor lurking behind my eyes. I do not mind at all. At 17, I had no idea what life would bring, but Zora's sentiment articulated so beautifully how I felt as a daughter of immigrants then and now. Nothing about me was or is tragic. I am perfectly made. I can wax eloquent on complex legal issues in English while also belting Guayaquil de mis amores in Spanish. I can change a diaper with one hand and console a crying toddler with the other. I am a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder.
Oh, no. No.
Hey, let's keep going.
Checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I did not sneak into CIA. My employment was not and is not the result of a fluke or slip through the cracks. I earned my way in, and I earned my way up the ranks of this organization. I am educated, qualified, and competent, and sometimes I struggle. I struggle feeling like I could do more, be more to my two sons. And I struggle leaving the office when I feel there's so much more to do. I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refuse to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be. I am tired of feeling like I'm supposed to apologize for the space I occupy rather than intoxicate people with my effort, my brilliance. I am proud of me. Full stop. My parents left everything they knew and loved to expose me to opportunities they never had. Because of them, I stand here today a proud first-generation Latina and officer at CIA. I am unapologetically me. I want you to be unapologetically you, whoever you are. Know your worth. Command your space. Mija, you're worth it.
I haven't actually seen that yet.
I haven't either. I saw clips of it, but I didn't see the whole thing.
Before El Popo comments, please, please don't give me a shit ton of stuff to edit out. So go proceed with caution.
I'm not, dude. Look, I love that. I love that video. It's a great video. And that inspires me. I feel great watching that, knowing that that's what my enemy struggles with, anxiety disorder.
That's true. That's true.
I don't. Great. Okay. I'm glad that that's the people who don't like me.
Yeah.
Good. You know, I love that there should. Why would. Okay. Now I'm going to do a video showing you all of my weak points.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you where my defenses are the worst at.
Yeah, it's so, like, you know, just never underestimate the power of a highly produced video with dramatic music in the background. You know, it's like you can take any, like, run-of-the-mill everyday person and make them sound like there's some kind of, like, you know, person that altered mankind. Like, they're like the Henry Ford or a Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. Like, you can just make them sound so impressive, you know? Like, okay, like, you have a baby in one hand and pat your toddler in the head and the other. It's like, okay, my wife has four. If I had her say that with music in the background, yeah, it's like it's a very impressive job. I'm glad she does it and enjoys it, but I have no respect for your profession. Like, I'm glad you're a mother, but
you know what I was thinking? So when she was like, I could change a diaper with one hand, and I was waiting for her to say, and with my other hand, command or call in airstrikes on poor innocent Syrian children. Right. Like, you know, I could just envision her changing a diaper, like, yeah, blow them motherfuckers up.
That's similar to what I was fixing to say, which is that would be a great bit to be like doing just a dude. He's doing normal household chores. He's like, I'm a dad and I work really hard and I, you know, have a good house. I provide for my family. I got an oxycodone problem, but so does a lot of people around here. And I'm a professional heroin dealer. They're just like some really bad person job.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You got to murder people for hire.
Yeah. You got to have the music and then you'd be like, yeah. And I'm a professional child ass kicker. I get hired by clients to beat the shit out of their kids.
And you know, I'll probably get a little bit of pushback even from Tyler on this, but this is where I've never been a big fan of like rap music or like even like State of the Union speeches. Cause nothing turns me off more than people patting themselves on the back, telling me how good they are. Like, it's like, I like humble, modest people. So like when I hear how successful you are and you're patting yourself on the back, the self-congratulatory behavior, it's like, ugh, it's gross. Like you should be humble and people should be telling me how good you are without you saying a word. If you're truly great, like Ron Paul doesn't brag about all the babies that he's delivered for free, you know, like, but everyone knows that about him. He's just a great human being.
Right. I love the part too, where the lady let's first clarify that she probably didn't want to pat herself on the back, but they told her she was going to have to go to Syria if she didn't do the commercial. So there might have been some force involved there.
Well, dude, do you remember? So just a little background for El Popo. Tyler and I met in trade school. We went to be aircraft mechanics about 12 years ago. Is that?
Oh fuck, was it that long ago?
2009, yeah. We started.
Yeah,
graduated in 11. Right. Yeah, so yeah, graduated 10 years ago. But do you remember the day that this is a community college? Do you remember the day they came to take pictures for the website?
No.
So this is like early woke days. We had three women in the class, like two in like their late 40s and one girl our age.
Two cougars.
Yeah. Then we had several different minorities. I think we had one black guy who hardly ever showed up, and hilarious guy when he was there, but he just never showed up. I think he flunked out. And then we had a Middle Eastern guy and a couple Mexican guys. You know, they're all good dudes. I got along with all of them. But we are out in the shop, and they're like, hey, the school's coming to take pictures for the website for the aviation maintenance program, and they want to update the pictures of you guys working on airplanes. So they're like, just go grab a wrench and look like you're doing something. And we're like, hey, cool, you know, maybe we'll get on the website. All of a sudden my teacher tells us to come back in, but it's just all the white guys came back in. and he's a white guy himself too. And we're like, what's going on? He goes, well, the photographer told me they want, and I quote, non-traditional students for the pictures. We're just like, okay, what's the end goal? You just want to stop white men from fixing airplanes? Like, is that what we're trying to accomplish? Like, I don't. It's so ridiculous.
I don't know. I don't know what the end goal of all of it is. I don't think they know. I think they just move on from one nonsensical movement to another. That's why I think El Popo and Mr. Neocon Remover, whenever he comes back, are doing the right work. And Mr. Fryan. Mr. Fryan is doing a good job too. Just memeing him to death.
Yeah, that dude's really funny. But I hope the CIA puts out more videos like that. In fact, I hope that they now just start doing mostly videos. I wanted to see.
Yeah. That's the other thing is since when does the CIA like look into hire, like spending our money on advertising?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's actually the real question here is I've never seen a CIA ad before ever.
I don't remember one.
Why do they need one now? And why are they wanting specifically like super well? Oh my God. Now I get it. Okay.
What's your theory?
Why would the CIA want a bunch of super people who are very literate and woke speak? Because it's easy to send people super literate and woke speak into cultures and drive direction of these groups that are also very woke.
Okay, that makes sense.
Why else would they want these people like this? I don't understand. It must be to influence them themselves. They need someone like I've never seen a CIA advertisement before because a lot of them are in other languages other than English.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I could be wrong. I don't know. Could be making all that up.
So I recall reading stuff about like when the feminist movement really gained steam, like the modern feminist movement, not the, you know, the women's voting movement of the 20s or teens, whatever, but like the modern one, like in the 60s, 70s, I had heard that there was a bunch of like agent provocateurs and like government help. Because the government wanted feminism more than the feminists did. They wanted women to go to work. They didn't want women staying home because now they had two taxpayers in each household. And It made sense to me when I read it. I mean, why wouldn't you? That's just
plus
because now you can afford to make CIA commercials.
And then also the state gets to raise your child too.
Oh, yeah. Of the house. Maybe they're just accelerationists more so than I am.
Maybe they're beating you at your own game.
Maybe it's time to have a CIA unity here.
Yeah. I was going to say, maybe they're the ones that keep reporting your Twitter accounts and getting you banned because they're pissed that you're encroaching on their territory.
You'd think they'd want to ally with me, though, but I've checked my DMs, and it is a bunch of glowies, but it's not none of the CIA, it doesn't look like.
Do you get a bunch of nasty messages on Twitter?
No, not very often. I did get one last week. Some insane guy. I can't remember what the hell this dude was messaging me. It was insane stuff. Saying like that he's a robot. He was calling himself a robot. And then he was saying to not send a pipe bomb to his house. He was begging me to not pipe bomb his house, which I found bizarre because
dude, schizo?
I think so. That he must be. He started the message off with a screenshot of a tweet I made, which said a BLM sign in your front lawn just is a sign that says white woman lives here.
Which is true. Which is true.
Yeah. I mean, I've been spending a lot of time in like a really bougie white part of town recently. I've been just driving around a lot and I see it. Ton of these signs everywhere, and it's the people who are outside mowing the grass. It's all like 50, 40, 30 year old white women. It's every single time without fail. I happen to live in the very minority part of the city. I don't see Black Lives Matter signs anywhere in the city in where the part where I live. And it's only where, because no white women live here. It's only, I don't even know where you would get the sign, actually. I really don't.
I have no idea.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess like JCPenney's.
Yeah, they got like Kohl's. Macy's or Kohl's card.
Yeah, Kohl's, yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I went up to the Twin Cities last year in June. So it was right after the first big riots. Like, right. I mean, the hotel was like boarded up and stuff, but I got like all the whole main strip, shattered windows, graffiti, justice for Floyd, all this stuff. And like, there's like nobody in the hotel. And I asked the lady there, I was like, you guys not get a lot of traffic during riot season? She's like, no, it's been pretty slow, believe it or not. But we actually, my buddy and myself went for a walk up that way. There's like a really ritzy area of town where it's like the highest point of the city. You oversee the Mississippi, the 7 to 8 figure houses everywhere. But it was like every four houses had a BLM flag or BLM sign in their yard. And basically what they're saying is like, don't rob me. Like, that's all it was. There was riots going on. And they're like, hey, I'm on your side. Don't come to my house. It was so blatant to see that. It's like, clearly, this is like almost 100% white area. But it's they want to, you know, insure themselves.
They're putting the lamb's blood on the door before Passover, dude.
Yep. For sure. Yeah. It's definitely more of, you know, they want to. For the first time in history, you know, your 44-year-old suburban housewife who hates her husband and hates her kids and wishes she would have married the punk rock guy from high school is able to feel like she's contributing to society.
No, I think it's the other way around. I think, because I see sometimes the husbands of these people too, and it is definitely the white women running the show in that house. 100%.
Oh, okay.
100%. It looks like a lesbian couple at first. I mistake them for lesbians every single time. Every time, dude, I'm like, oh, it's an older lesbian couple. I'm like, oh, no, that's a dude. It's an
older lesbian couple.
It's a dude, and the wife's protecting him from a cat. I don't know.
Is she holding onto the husband's pocket?
No, she's holding his purse because it's too heavy for her. But I think it's the white women running the show in a lot of these towns, dude. White women is the strongest race on earth currently.
It's true. Very, very devastating, very vocal, and involved in the local school board, which makes it even scarier.
I just can't believe we have laid down a 100-year reign, hundreds of years, and it's finally white women now. Damn, mm-hmm. Dude. And we didn't even fire a shot.
No, all they had to do is like fetus beer and corn and everything fell apart.
Yo, it's that corn syrup, dude.
Yes, it is. It's the corn syrup. I actually changed my Facebook picture. I put the Pfizer logo on a bottle of Karo corn syrup. and I put, like, you know, on Facebook they have like the banners for your profile picture. It says let's get vaccinated.
Oh man.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine actually, because like I'm not like on Twitter, yeah, I got shit posted a little bit, but like I'm not as funny as you guys are. So like I'm like mid tier at best, where you guys are like heavy. You guys are heavyweights. I'm fighting at like 155 with this shit. So, but on Facebook, it's Normieville. So I can like, I just throw bombs. And I actually had a friend of mine like, you need to stop trolling on Facebook. I'm like, why? Are people texting you? She goes, yes. And she goes, it's people on both sides, on the right and the left. She's like, everyone's fucking mad.
You're like, I'm doing my job right. Yeah. That's a libertarian job.
Yeah, it's my goal. It's my purpose on social media. It's the only reason I keep Facebook is to piss people off. That's it.
There's no other reason. I don't even get on it no more because like I said before, I didn't change anything for Twitter. I didn't act stupid for Twitter when I got the stupid duck picture. This is just how I am. So I'm right. The same on Facebook. But the problem is all my friends and all of my Facebook friends is pretty much all people from MMA world, just the fight community. And they all think I'm a crazy person. They must, at least. I don't know. They haven't told me that, but I'm sure they do. Would go on there and just yell absolute insane things to people. And it wouldn't be, I wouldn't be like wishing violence around anyone, but, you know, anarchists are fairly abrasive in their messaging, to say the least. And that's in the very conservative area I live, that's generally how it's received too. So I just quit getting on Facebook because I just didn't want people thinking. I don't want to get, you know, fucking red flagged.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Especially in where it's pretty recent, how those things go down.
It's really interesting how you mentioned that, how white women are, like, would you say the safest demographic right now, or how'd you phrase that?
Most powerful.
Oh, yeah. They're the most powerful. Correct.
Yeah. So like on the last couple episodes, we've been trying to start a movement of freedom MILFs. So we need, just hot moms that are into freedom, because there's a, Nick pointed out Christy Noem of South Dakota. You know, she definitely fits the mold. Then we got there's this mom in Georgia who was, she's probably about our age. She's a bit of a young mom, pretty lady, who went off on the school board about her kids wearing masks and was very powerful and very viral. Great speech. And we need more of this. You know, it gets more attention. And, I was telling my wife, pretty, I can say that, and I was like, if I could just have you speak, because she's not very political, if I'll just write your speeches and say my things, do you know how people would listen if it's coming out of your mouth and not mine?
It's true.
I wouldn't actually do it, but I'm like, hey, if you wanted to, get clicks.
I tried to do that with my girlfriend, and she tried it at first, and she hated it. Yeah, she absolutely fucking hated it. I made her do a funny video with me once too, where this was early on when the mask shit was starting, and she was saying, hey, she was playing a character, of course. So she was wearing a mask and she was going, hey, if your boyfriend is having problems wearing the mask around the house, here's an easy tip to make him wear it. And then the next frame, it was set up so it looked like she was secretly recording me. The angle was set up so it was like I couldn't tell it was being recorded. And I'm playing Xbox, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm playing, and then she enters the frame and she goes, hey, what I tell you about wearing the mask around the dogs, or what I tell you about wearing the masks? And I'm like, what? And she goes, what I say about the mask? And I'm like, dude, I'm not wearing a mask around the dog. And she goes, you got to wear the mask around the dog. I'm like, dude, that's ridiculous. And then she gets behind me and puts me in a rear naked choke, and I pretend to fight it. And I'm screaming, tap, tap, like I'm being choked. And then I pretend like I go out. And then she picks up the camera. And it looked great. It didn't get very much traction. I thought it was going to go hammer. People were going to call it crazy. Great. But a lot of people did think it was real, and I love that.
I remember that video.
Hell yeah, dude.
And I honestly – so that was before – I think it was before I followed you, like right before. And then I saw that, and at first I thought it was real. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, who is this lady? I remember that. And I think I started following you soon after, once I realized like what was going on. I was like, that's fucking funny.
Yeah, but that's basically the life of a politician, though. He's a speechwriter, and nothing you're saying is actually your thoughts or words. You're turning your wife into a politician. Trust me. I was like, I don't know about that. It's kind of cheap and disingenuous. But hey, if it moves the needle.
Well, it's true, though, because, hot moms speaking the good word of liberty are going to get way more traction than any of our dumbasses. That's for sure.
Actually, this is kind of how my Twitter accounts run. So I'm not actually coming up with these things. I'm actually directly sourcing it from a retarded person. And then I'm just typing what they're telling me.
Dude, I am actually shocked that your handle, they allowed that. Because I've seen people's accounts get banned for similar.
I didn't make that account. Neil Conremover made it, and he gave it to me because I couldn't I couldn't get back on. And then I guess he made it a while back, but he goes, yeah, you can do whatever with it. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to change the handle. That's a sick handle, dude. I love pregnant retard. That's great. Yeah. The account,
so ridiculous.
The account I'm
when I saw it, and I when I saw that you were back, I knew immediately it was you. I was like, that's so fucking perfect.
The account I'm most sad about losing, because it was the best name, was Blue Check Abuser.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, yeah. I like that.
Because I would have, man, dedicated my life to living up to that name.
Hell yeah. I really think that's the goal. So actually, Mike, this was going around on Twitter. I don't think it went around anywhere else. But there was a journalist, like an NPR journalist, that claimed that they felt so threatened that they needed to start wearing a bulletproof vest to do their job. And I was like, that's kind of a white pill. Like, we're, you know, not advocating anything, of course, but, you know, that's good. That means that the bullying is working.
Yeah, it's I don't know too much about the whole Twitter world, but I live kind of vicariously through Tyler, and it's he sends me the highlights. He'll just send me random screenshots of a lot of things you say, which usually make my day. I mean, you know, sitting in bed, you know, with the kids or something, watching a movie, and he'll screenshot some ridiculous thing you tweeted, and I'll just sit there laughing my ass off. So
wait, when have I ever said something ridiculous?
The BLM one, that was amazing. I legitimately laughed out loud. It's not, so true.
Not to pat my own back, but this is the favorite thing I've probably ever done. It was a few days ago, Kentucky State Police changed their Facebook cover photo, and it was a picture of like there's four cop cars, one of those little fake MRAPs, a helicopter, and a bunch of troopers standing out. And then on the background, it says, our color is gray. Our gender is trooper. And I'm like, and that's their cover thing. And I'm like, dude,
what do they mean?
And they're mocking, like, they're not, I don't even know, actually. I can't even defend it because I agree. I don't really know what it means. Like, I know what they're mocking.
It makes no sense.
Right. So I said to them, I said, Kentucky made it against the law to insult the police, which they have done. Because Kentucky State Police knew I would call them gay for posting this. And then I got onto my Android photo editing app, and I just changed it so it said, our color is gay, our gender is poop. And I thought the picture's so funny, I just made it my header. So that's going to be my header forever.
That's so awesome.
So if you see the Kentucky State Police, just ask them if their gender's still poop.
Did you get any pushback on that or any reaction?
No, I tagged them twice. I said, whoa, is this, KY Police, is this real? And they didn't reply to me.
They probably honestly turned their notifications off because they probably get trolled so hard.
Oh, man. Like, I do need to follow them so I can post that until they block me.
Yes. I think that memes are a much more effective means of delivering messaging than people ever could have imagined. Like,
yeah, it's incredible what you can do with 10 words in a picture of SpongeBob, the message you can convey that can like be like a life altering, like red pill to somebody, like, oh, that makes sense. I never thought about that before. Like, it's how do we ever get by without memes? I mean, there's always been political cartoons, but memes are just hilarious.
It's going to be insane. Aliens finding Earth, and they're like, dude, this Sponge character was a philosopher.
Yeah. They're going to be like, holy shit, who is this guy?
They had a guy named SpongeBob. We think like he came right after Aristotle. We think it was Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, SpongeBob. And a lot of world decisions were driven based on him getting really stoned. He'd get really high, and then he'd say things, and people would all agree with it.
That's what, like, I was talking with my brother, and I was like, dude, if I died and people went through my phone, they'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? There's like 7,000 memes on there. Like, I don't even know what all I have. There's too many. Like, I have some that I just moved to a favorites folder for quick replies and stuff. But yeah, like, if they went through my phone, they'd be like, this guy's fucked up. He's real fucked up. It happened to a coworker of mine that passed away, too. His girlfriend went through his phone and didn't know he was into all this greasy stuff.
Oh, no.
They're like, she was mortified.
Oh, like, man, that's
like,
terrible.
You know, because, like, he's an older guy, so, like, they use Facebook for all that shit. Just sending all his gross shit to his friends, and she didn't know about it, apparently.
Brutal. So did any of you guys watch the State of the Union?
Oh, no.
No, that guy is...
I didn't watch it either. I listened to Tim Pool's and Ben Shapiro's recaps on it, just because they're good for, you know, current event, next day news. Tim Pool I prefer over Ben Shapiro by far. But it's everything's great. I mean, the way it sounded, I mean, it's there's a whole lot of racism we got to overcome, but the economy's coming back, jobs are created, like all this like lumber being up 400%, that, you know, I guess that's not really a thing, because according to the State of the Union, it sounded like we were just kicking ass, and like Biden's created like 460 billion new jobs in the first 100 days, and things are spinning. So
yeah, there's also a chicken shortage right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's gonna cause. Yeah, dude, we're gonna have problems.
Yeah, that's not even funny.
I mean, that's another. I guess it's only kind of good, but the good news of it is, instead of always just looking at the bad of it, the good news is everyone. I wish more people would have heard what Joe Biden saying all those things at State of the Union, because they would look around and go, "What the fuck is he talking about? Mm-hmm, this is not reality." And no. Same with CIA recruitment. It's so ridiculous. People are going to look at it. I wish it wouldn't get slammed so hard. That way they'd make more and more people look at it and go, what the hell are they talking about?
I was talking to a guy at a hardware store the other day who worked there, and he said they stopped putting price tags on their lumber. He said it's changing so fast. They can't keep printing price tags and putting them out there. So they're just like, oh, what's the price? I don't ask them today. It's more than yesterday. It's all we know. So they have to like keep changing the prices. And how long? So that's everything. How long till that's milk and chicken and beef? Like, that's what gets really scary. Or gas, you know? Like, I don't know. I'm pretty.
Whatever. And you know nervous. What, though? It's going to suck, but it might be the acceleration route. I think we might be able to rebuild from this trouble.
We're far ahead of the curve of the people wearing two masks in their car by themselves. So it's like, that's what we're competing against.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Yeah. So, it won't take much to overcome them.
Right. So I think the fact that we, you know, libertarians with our autistic obsession with economics gets it to the point where we like always have our finger on the pulse of the economy. And we're like, oh no, this is it. Like, you get the Peter Schiff syndrome where it's like, there's going to be a big collapse. And eventually we're bound to be right. But yeah, it's looking more realistic than ever right now.
Yeah, we have very, very sensitive Richter scales compared to everyone else.
Yes.
Yeah, we keep our ear to the ground, much, much more in tune with reality than your average CNN viewer.
For sure.
CNN's pretty good for the laughs, though. I'll give it that. It's like, they literally, it's just everything that they say, there's some like very obvious skew to anyone with half a brain.
Well, and now Tucker Carlson is their new Trump, because Trump's gone.
So they just
shit talk. It's like their whole thing is shit talking Fox News, specifically Tucker Carlson. It's like you hardly have to watch Fox News because you can just get Fox News recaps on CNN.
Like, yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, that's the Tucker, other great news. They're doing the same playbook that they did to Trump. They're just like, if we just start yelling at this guy, the problem is Tucker Carlson's a lot more articulate than Donald Trump was.
Oh,
I don't think that strategy is going to work very well.
No, and his ratings are like way higher. Like, CNN is dying now that Trump's gone. Like, that's all everyone watches for is the anti-Trump network.
Well,
and I
think Tucker Carlson's intelligent. He knows this is happening. I think he's going to say a lot more things like, hey, the CIA is bad, and other things that the people who are on the left but hate neoliberals will agree with. And the whole, let's just yell at Tucker Carlson. You're going to be on the equivalent of a Q-tard, a QAnon believer. If you yell about Tucker Carlson, you're going to be treated as such, because no one's going to buy it any longer.
Yeah,
I actually agree. I think you're right. I think the more that they try to like tear him down, and like the more they go after him, just the more radical his messaging is going to get. And it's just going to keep generating more ratings. And he's just going to get stronger every time they do it.
Yeah. And
at least until they make up some Epstein story about him or something.
Sure. Another white pill. I was listening to Tim Pool today. Do you know the Olympics is like banning any BLM or kneeling, any BLM attire or kneeling or fist in the air? They want no like woke agenda, because they do this once every 4 years. And they've seen what's happened to the Grammys or the Oscars or whatever. They've seen what's happened to the MLB and NFL. Like, people don't want to watch woke shit. They know their numbers are going to get crushed if everybody goes woke. So they put a hard, fast rule, no woke shit, which is just incredibly encouraging. It's starting to hurt their pocketbooks, and they're like, "You go, you get woke, go broke." Like, it's got to stop happening eventually. It's got to be pushback.
Right. Except so the CIA, we want them to continue.
Yes,
the Olympics has always kind of been that way. They took away those gold medals because those dudes did the black power fist back in the 60s. Yep. They don't like politics at all. Not, man, that's pretty wicked. Unfortunately, everyone is on steroids at the Olympics.
Yes.
True. Also,
it's apparently a fuck harem there.
Yeah.
Oh, like in Olympic Village?
Yeah, apparently that's wild.
I've heard about that.
So,
which I mean, I guess you know, you got a bunch of fit people. Some of those Olympic women are pretty good looking. I guess I can't blame them.
Yeah, but I just hate the idea because I'm not there.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. This is bullshit.
So they can't do it.
Yeah, it's
and they got a lot of money. I'm really mad at them.
So how do they make their money? Because I see a lot of these like Olympic athletes and they seem to be living the life, but I'm like, there ain't, who the fuck's paying a sprinter? You know what I mean?
Sponsors, probably. Sponsors? Dude, so yeah, I was listening to Michael Phelps on Tim Ferriss's podcast a couple weeks ago or months ago. The discipline routine they put in leading up to Olympics for 4 years, I mean, like every single day, their diet, their sleep, their exercise, their workouts, like they keep their eye on the prize and they live for one purpose, and that's to compete every 4 years. Like that's their entire life. That's why they get to that status. But it's,
well, he smoked big gas too.
Yeah. So yeah, it must be sponsors. I mean, what your celebrity is worth when you get to that, you know, where Michael Phelps was before he got high. You know, that had to be, I mean, how much would you pay if you were Subway or Pepsi or something, you know, to get someone of that status, you know?
Well, apparently also the United States is the only country that doesn't directly pay the Olympics people at all.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Every other country has their own that they fund to send people to the Olympics to do this and that. And the United States apparently is the only one who doesn't. It's all volunteer stuff. And it just shows you that. And then we just still beat the shit out of every year. It's not even close. Not even close. We're good at all the interesting sports. We don't even compete in the ones that suck. And if we do, we're not even good at it. I mean, we win all the most entertaining sports. I love watching Olympic basketball though. Like when LeBron and Carmelo on the same team and it's not even with Kobe when they're in Spain. And then when they were, I think China also, it just wasn't fair. It was like, that's like the 90s dream team coming back to life, dude.
You had like the next closest team was like Serbia and they had like two guys that were NBA players and maybe Spain occasionally, but you know,
and the final score would be 120-43.
Yeah, dude, I remember watching a video. They were playing – it was like the qualifying rounds, and they were playing – oh, man, it was some small, like, African country. And, like, you see this guy just go up for this weak-ass jump shot, and LeBron James volleyball spiked that basketball into the upper level. And it was just – and, like, instead of helping the guy up, he just walks over him.
Hell, yeah.
Just sheer dominance.
Good. That's, and he didn't get paid by the United States government to do it, and I like that. That's great.
They just do it to flex all over the other nations. Like the USA men's team, it's like a status symbol. You go rub your nuts on other countries' foreheads and get all the gold medals and glory for it.
There must be wicked money in it, though, dude.
There has to be. Even for like. Well, that's like what I said, like sprinters. Like, why would you dedicate your entire life to sprinting 400 meters? Like, what? I mean, there has to be some incentive, unless the dick is that good in Olympic Village. They're like, I got trained hard. We're getting some this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like anything else, though. You get competitive and you want to be the best, and, you know, it's just hyper competitive people. I can see anything like that getting, regardless of what it is, getting very obsessed with it. So. But yeah, I don't know. People are better than I. Pulpo, you're not going to be going out to Freedom Fest by chance, are you, in South Dakota?
No, sir, but I will be at Childerberg.
What?
No way. Really? So you and Tyler can
get
together.
Oh, wait, I think I, so you were, I didn't know if you were kidding. You did say you're going to stage a left-wing anarchist versus right-wing anarchist fight.
No, but I think it would be great. I don't think they'd allow it. I am, however, I'm very inspired to bring down two sets of boxing gloves. I'm sure it'll be a riot. I'm sure two people will strap some gloves on and hit each other, all for fun, of course.
Yeah.
Because if there's so many people and everyone's getting just fucking YOLO'd and everything, someone's going to want to put on some gloves, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
I got some 16-ounce Fairtex gloves here. And some hand wraps, for that matter.
Yeah, I wish I could make that one. But yeah, it's just Tyler's going to have to be the face of the podcast down there. So I'll live vicariously through him once again, much like Twitter. But absolutely. Should be a good time. I mean, that's like so many great names in this world are going to be in one place. So how many people are they expecting? I mean, several hundred? Is that what Carl was saying?
I have no clue. Probably would not surprise me if it were several hundred. And probably, and by the way, don't, whoever is going, I mean, just, you're not going to know everyone who's there, okay? You're not going to know everyone who you're speaking to. So don't go there thinking everybody is an anarchist and everybody is your best friend, okay? So don't say stupid right. shit to people. It shouldn't have to be said, but this we're still a lot of people are. This is still a fringe ideology, okay? And I'm not saying feds are going, but I'm saying, and I'm not saying treat everyone like a fed, but I'm saying
don't say dumb shit.
Yeah, it's not out of the realm of Malcolm X famously said in a speech that hello. He opens the speech with hello to I see a bunch of friends. Colleagues, co-workers, and even a few enemies. And a bunch of the crowd laughed, and he goes, it's kind of funny, but it would be foolish to see so many people here gathered and to not think that there must be some enemies amongst us. And I think with the larger the number gets,
yeah,
the likelihood increases.
Yeah. Well, I think Pete was saying on his show that he had that at like a Mises event or something. He's like, that guy's clearly a Fed.
Yeah, it wouldn't
like clearly. He's like they stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it once again, it's like if you were in their position, wouldn't you want to get boots on the ground and be like, "What's going on there?" Like, go infiltrate it. You know, it's not that crazy. It's not tinfoil hat to think that. But yeah, it's a fair point. Never really thought about that.
All you're gonna see is me and rocking my white boy summer Vans, getting drunk as piss in the Texas sun. So
hell yeah. Like I said, face of the podcast.
Yeah, getting drunk as piss. Getting knocked out by El Popo with some 16-ounce boxing gloves.
Oh, hell yeah.
That we could put that on your Twitter.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather put it on your Twitter than mine, because your Twitter will get deleted. So that way so only a limited audience will see me getting flatlined.
I don't drink, by the way. I probably won't drink while I'm there. So no.
That's fair. The Texas sun is a brutal thing.
That's another point. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I don't want to be drinking fucking Texas heat, dude. No way. Yeah.
I had that happen in Arizona when I first moved down there. We were out at the pool. It was like, I don't know, it was 102, 103, but we were in the pool drinking. And, man, I don't remember much at the end of the night. I was like, was I bad? They're like, you were fine. I'm like, well, I must have had sun poisoning or something because I was not okay.
I'm sure I'm going to get talked into drinking, but I probably won't drink very much.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, yeah, we'll be at Freedom Fest, though, July 21st through 24th in Rapid City. So hopefully we can meet a couple of listeners there. El Popo, anything else you want to close on? You're back on Twitter, so you can actually plug it this time, which is a first. So I think you already plugged it, though, didn't you?
Yeah, do you really want me saying it again?
Yes.
I don't think they can forget it, so, you know, whatever.
You can also find me at boys.town, B-O-Y-Z.town, not to be confused with recently seized dark web child porn website, Boys Town. Not the same Boys Town. We are not that one, okay? We're different ones. Ours just tells you how to make objects to destroy government property on our website. It has no pictures at all.
Right.
Nothing to do with the dark web.
Yeah. The Z is important. The Z is important.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. And Tyler at Schlitz underscore beer. And correct. What we're at Paul's to the Walls with a Z on Walls, correct?
Yep.
And go rate it 5 stars on iTunes and then take a screenshot and then tag me in it. And I will personally, I'm not going to do anything, but just do it, fellas. I mean, if you're already on iTunes listening, dog, just click rate and just say something nice. Five star it up. Hell yeah.
I am very grateful for the eight people that listened last episode. But like I said, the other 54% of my listeners that were just calling my bluff, I'm like, okay, all right, you guys didn't care.
You 10 more people rate it 5 stars before your next episode. I'll post some sack on Twitter, okay?
There you have it. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
Awesome. El Popo, thanks again. Always a pleasure. And good laugh to have you on. So
hell yeah.
Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.